This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
I always debate about how I'm going to open. Howdy, good morning, what's up, all right, all right, all right. Anybody know that line? Is that line familiar to anybody? Like, oh yeah, I know that guy. All right, all right, all right. Whew. Notes. Everybody got notes? Raise your hand if you don't have notes. Raise your hand if you don't have any notes. If you do not have notes in your possession right now and you are not raising your hand, shame on you. Violating the teacher, telling you what to do. Yes, yes, right here behind you, right here behind you, hand raised right behind you, there you go. Yes, you will need extra pens. Somebody already asked me that, like this. Good night almighty, Kaler. That's a lot of blanks. Yep, you better have a couple extra pens. As I was writing it out, I was like, man, that's good, that's good, that's good. Oh, that's good, that's good. Take that out, take that out. We'll write that down. Lots of blanks. Give a shout out to Jen. She said, don't give me a shout-out, so I'm giving a shout-out to Jen. Not only playing the keyboard up here doing great, but she's the one that formats all these, formats them. I type them up and just send them. I used to format them, and it'd take me forever, and the numbers would show up wrong. And so I just send it to her and let her format it. Looks great. Shout-out to Amber back in the booth. Shout out to Amber. Amber said, don't give me a shout out. I said, okay, I'll give you a shout out. She's the one that creates all those cool slides and puts them up there. She's the one. And I said to her, I said, listen, there are a lot of blanks. Because what she usually does, what Amber usually does is she creates the slide with the blank, and then she also creates the slide with the blank filled in. I said, don't do this side today. Only do the fill-ins. There's too many. Too many, too many, too many. My name is Jason. I am not Hal. I honestly don't know how to take that. All right, let's pray. We're done. Hal and Dawn are on vacation. Can we just take a moment and pray over them? Would you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up our lead pastor, our senior pastor, our shepherd, and his wife, Miss Dawn. We pray over them as they are taking some time away. Pray your safety and provision, of course, but Lord, we also pray for rest, relaxation, restoration, peace, renewal. Lord, I just speak that over them, that this time would be looked back upon in great fondness, not only just for memories made, but also as just a sweet time with you, Heavenly Father, away, just being in your presence and being relaxed and just being able to breathe. We speak that over them. In your name I pray. Amen. Guests, if you're with us for the first time, maybe the second time, first time in a long time, there's a little card in the back of the seat. If you would take that, please, and fill that out. If you don't want to, that's also fine, but there are black boxes at the doors in the back of the seat. You can drop them in there, or you can go out to the tent outside and fill that card out, take it to the tent. They'll answer questions for you and give you a gift and all that. We thank you for being here. Just again, I am not the senior pastor, lead pastor. That's Pastor Hal. I am filling in for him. Thank you for being here today. Luke chapter 5, we are continuing in our series, Dear Theophilus. We are in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. They will be up on the screen, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, some of your translations say Simon Peter, because his name has already been changed. Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. Then he sat in the boat and continued to teach the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, at your word, I will let the nets down again." This time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus, and he said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him, his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They also were amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they made it back to the shore, as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Heavenly Father, your word has been read. Your word is life. Your word is hope. Your word is healing. It is provision. It is you. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that we, as your followers, would take this word. We would allow it to penetrate the core of our being. We would allow it to transform us into the image of your Son. That we would take this story of your Son and the challenge that your Son gave, and we would allow it to challenge us, so that we will go from saying Master to on our knees saying Lord. Heavenly Father, I speak that over myself. I speak that over the congregation. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your power to change us. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Verse number one, Jesus is preaching. There's a great crowd listening to the word of God. Verses 2 and 3, Jesus is stepping into the boat. Please understand that it is Peter's boat. It is Simon Peter's boat. They already know each other. This is not just a happen chance. This is not just luck. Peter's name has already been changed. Simon's name has already been changed to Peter. Simon's mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, has already been healed. They've already met. Jesus' reputation is already there. There's a huge crowd on the beach. Interestingly enough, right, Jesus knows what he's doing. He doesn't step into any random boat. He steps into Peter's boat. But Peter is still fishing for fish, right? Is that not what he's doing? He's fishing for fish. That's his occupation. That's what he does. It's his every ordinary day life. He's still out there. He is not about the cause of Christ. He is not about seeking the kingdom of God first. He's just doing his day. Please make sure you understand that. Please make sure you see this. Name's already been changed. Mother-in-law's already been healed. He's seen that miracle. He's sitting there doing his nets, watching, listening as the crowds are growing. He already knows, but he's fishing. He's still fishing for fish. Verses 3 and 4, Jesus continues to preach from the boat. And then he says at the end of verse number 4, "All right, Peter, all right, Simon, let's go deep. Let's let down these nets." Verse number 5, Peter starts with the excuses. But this, but this, but this, but this, but But at your word, I will obey. I will let down the net. Please make a note, circle, underline, highlight, whatever you need to do, that verse number 5 starts with the word master. There's going to be a change from 5 to the end. We're going to go from master, teacher, good person, what rabbi, whatever you want to call him, to Lord. There's a change that happens. Verses 6 and 7, there are so many fish that the nets are tearing. He's needing help. We would assume, though it's not necessarily said here, but we would assume that his brother Andrew is with him, helping him, but they have to call to James and John, their other partners, the sons of Zebedee. Come help. This is crazy. Come on. However, I don't know. Do they like push the boat over there? Do they paddle as fast as they can? The bottom line is now both boats are to the point of sinking. 8 and 9, 8, 9 and 10. 8, 9 and 10, we find Peter falling to his knees in the middle of the fish. Falling to his knees, he is awestruck. He is amazed, as are the others. And notice, please notice, please notice, please notice that it has gone from master to Lord. Something has changed. And at the end of verse number 10, the reply of Jesus in that moment, the three words are what? Don't be afraid. I want to ask you today, I want to invite you today to be honest, to peel back the layers, allow the holy layers, and say to yourself, what am I afraid of? In this, in this, in this, in this, in that, as I walk out my everyday life, and God supposedly, hopefully, is moving me because I'm a follower of Christ. What am I afraid of in any particular moment where I'm going, master, 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 but man, I am not at the Lord part yet? He ends verse number 10 by saying, today you're going to be fishing for people. I'm going to change this. There's a change coming. In verse number 11, now, even though his name's already been changed to Peter, he's seen his mother-in-law healed. Now, verse number 11, now they leave everything and follow Jesus. Don't be afraid. Jesus challenged Peter, go into the deep. Come on, Pete, go into the deep, man. But it's the wrong time. Yep, we're going to do this at the wrong time. I'm exhausted. Yep, you're exhausted. There's no more snacks in the boat. We ate them up all night long. There's no more snacks. Please let me at least go get some snacks. Andrew hogged them down all night long. I'm discouraged. We didn't catch anything all night long. This is not the right time. But Peter said, I will obey you, Master. In the midst of the excuses, in the midst of the reluctance, I will obey you. At your word, I will drop these nets. And he was changed, along with the people with him. We find him on his knees, now calling Jesus Lord. Don't be afraid. We're fishing for people. Don't be afraid. Obviously, this is unreal. This miraculous thing is out of control. Both boats are sinking. Holy smokes, who do I have here in the boat? This is crazy. I'm kneeling down. Of course, I'm a sinful man. Of course, of course, of course, there should be some quaking in our boots in the presence of the Creator of the universe. Of course. And yet, do we not say, out in the deep? Really? Drop the nets? It's not the right time. There's no snacks in the boat. Wait, we worked all night. I'm exhausted. Those, ladies and gentlemen, are fears. I don't care how you package them. They're fears. Let me give you an example. of what I'm talking about in this idea of fears in this sense. It had been a week. Woo! One of those. It had been a week. Probably 20 years ago now. And Friday culminated the week with being, oh my goodness, Friday. It was rough. One of those weeks. I come home from school. I'm the principal at Hernando Christian Academy. My wife and I, we've got all the littles. I come home from school. My head is pounding, rehashing the week. And I walked in the door and I said, we got to go out to dinner. And all four of my kids are like, yeah! I said, without the four of you. No! I said, come on, man. Come on. Come on, wife. I got to go to dinner. I just got to go to dinner and relax. My head is pounding. So we found somebody to watch the kids. And we went to dinner. At this point in the game, my pastor, my shepherd, is encouraging us to look for every opportunity to fish for people, whether that person is non-believing, whether I know that person or not, whether the person has just come over to Jesus in a very early way, or whether they're down the path. It's called discipleship. It's called fishing. It's called taking the hope that is in me and giving hope to the people out there. It's called giving the life that is in me, giving healing and looking for every opportunity, one of them being, you ready? One of them being to pray for your waiter or waitress. And of course, be kind to your waiter and waitress. Be nice. Don't be a jerk. Leave a huge tip. All that good. But pray. So we're sitting at the table, we're sitting at the booth. I knew right where I wanted to go, right what I wanted to eat. We get to the restaurant, not a long wait. We sit down, my head's still pounding. My wife comes into the booth next to me, which is super nice. Now we sit on this opposite side of each other, whatever, read into that, whatever you want. No, I'm teasing. Sits next to me. I got the menu. And the waitress comes up and says, blah, 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 blah. And immediately, God says, make sure you pray for her. Make sure you ask her what she needs prayer for. No, 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 no. I'm exhausted and my head hurts and I got no snacks in the boat. And no. But at your word. Not because I want to. But at your word, we order, yada, yada, yada. And she comes back and she puts it all down. And she says what they all say, you know. All right, you know, everything look all right. Y'all need anything else? And I took a deep breath. And I put out my net. And I said, hey, listen, my wife and I are going to pray over this meal. Is there anything we can pray for you about while we pray over the meal? And I took a deep breath and I held my breath. And she slid into the seat next to Natalie and burst into tears. And I sat down there up against that wall as my wife reached out and took her hand. And I looked at the wall and I said, Jason, you are a... What is wrong with you? And in that moment, God said, the same thing that's wrong with you was wrong with Peter in the boat, making up a bunch of excuses, being very reluctant when I told you to cast the net. God, I am so, so sorry. He said, I know you had a rough week. I was right there with you the whole time. I know Friday today was terrible. I was right there with you the whole time. I know you have a pounding headache that I could take away from you just like that, but I'm not in this moment because I'm seeing what your faith is all about. And I want you to pray for this girl right now. Do I know where the girl was? No, absolutely not. Why did I pick that restaurant? Because I wanted a steak. How did that girl be our waitress? I have no idea. You know, I do have an idea. God put her there. And she slid in next to my wife, and she burst into tears, and she said, my mom and I have been fighting for months, and we have not spoken. It's horrible, and we have not spoken in a month, and I just want it to stop. I want to talk to my mom. By this time, I can't pray because I'm bawling too. So my wife put her arm around her, and my wife prayed over her right there in that booth. We didn't get out into the floor and kneel down and ask every other table to come around. I don't think anybody even knew what was going on. They didn't need to. It's none of their business. Jesus wasn't in my boat. Jesus was in my booth. And he was asking me to go deep. And he was asking me to cast my net. And I didn't want to. Because I'd had a crummy week, and I'd had a terrible Friday, and my head was pounding, and I didn't know if I'd go back to HCA on Monday morning, because I was done. He said, yeah, okay. But I got this little girl here, right here, that you have no idea who she is, but she needs me. And she needs my hope. And she needs my life. And she needs my healing. And she needs my peace. And she needs my restoration. And you've got all that. So stop hoarding. Stop hoarding. And get your net out. And I said, oh, that Peter. That Simon Peter. Why does there have to be an example of this in the Bible? In fact, you could probably take Simon Peter out and put Jason Kaler's name in there. In our daily lives, in our day-to-day moments, how do we overcome that fear? Well, Jason, I mean, what were you afraid of? I was afraid that my evening would be interrupted because my week had already been interrupted and I didn't like it. How do we get from verse number 5, master and excuses and reluctance to obey, not being about the cause of Christ, not seeking first God's kingdom. How do we get from verse number 5 to verses 8, 9, and 10 where we find ourselves on our knees in the midst of the fish, acknowledging our pride, our unbelief, our weakness, our fear, acknowledging His lordship, to getting then to verse number 11 where we let it all go and we follow Him? How do we get there? Don't forget, Simon's name has already been changed to Peter. His mother-in-law has already been healed. He is sitting on the beach watching this rising rock star named Jesus fill the beach. He's watching it all happen. It wasn't by happen chance. It's because Jesus was ordaining it. He was making it happen. And so Peter has gone, the change has happened. He has gone from being aware of Jesus to being in awe of Jesus. You better write that one down. That's a freebie. He went from being aware of Jesus to being in awe of Jesus. A revelation has happened. An intimate relationship has been birthed in that moment from verses 5 to 8, 9, and 10, and 11. Do I know the time frame? No, I don't know the time frame of how long it took them to paddle out into the deep and to have the debate and call everybody over and James and I don't know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, the time is irrelevant. What's relevant is what happened from 5 to 8, 9, 10, and 11. What transpired? What was transformed? How did he go from being aware of Jesus to being in awe of Jesus? Because then he dropped it all and followed Jesus. You're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to fish for people. Every day, all day long, every moment you got. But what if I'm exhausted? You're going to be. What if I haven't caught any fish in a really long time? It happens. What if there's no snacks in the boat? There might not be snacks in the boat. What if you got a bad headache? What if it's been a terrible week? Yep, it's called life. In your everyday, ordinary life, we are stopping with the fish and we're fishing for people. I just didn't want to, ladies and gentlemen. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to pray for anybody Friday evening. Honestly, and can I say this? And I know you're going to maybe a collective gasp, and you're going to say once again, like, you know, how I can't believe hell lets that guy in. Honestly, I didn't care. I didn't. I needed my own time. I needed some space. I needed my head to stop pounding and evaluate the week. I didn't really care. I don't even know who she is. Hi, my name is, I don't remember what her name is. She's probably going to say no anyways. I mean, why bother asking? And you know, when she says no, she's going to roll her eyes and then it's going to be embarrassing. Or maybe her prayer request is going to be silly. Yeah, my best friend's dog just had puppies. Would you please pray for the puppies? Great. That just added to my headache. How about this one? Yeah, I'd like you guys to pray that you all would like leave a really big tip for me, because Christians don't usually leave big tips. They just leave touch cards and, you know, stuff like that, and pens from their church. She's going to say no, and then what's she going to do to my food? Because she hates Christians, because Christians are jerks. I'm giving up some control here, Jesus. I'm risking something. I don't really want to. This is vulnerable. Fine. I'll let down the net at your word. Please, please hear me say, if you read that verse and he goes through the list, he's debating with the master. One verse later, he's on his knees before the Lord, creator of the universe. That change happened in him. That was in him. Jesus didn't change. It's the same Jesus who named him, you're not Simon anymore, now you're Peter. It's the same Jesus that healed the mother-in-law and then healed everybody else at Peter's doorstep. It's Peter that changed. So how then, according to the theme of the series, I'm writing you this so that you might know for certain, how do we go from uncertainty to certainty? Number one, you ready? Get your pens, get your pencils. If your hand starts cramping, just switch to the other hand. We're moving. Number one, verses 3 and 4. God calls weak people in the midst of their ordinary everyday lives. God calls weak people in the midst of their ordinary everyday lives. Letter A, we need our pride, our unbelief, and our weaknesses exposed. We need our fears exposed. Pride, unbelief, weaknesses. Letter B, God is willing to disrupt. What? I got a lot of good things going on here, God. God is willing to disrupt ordinary routines with kingdom encounters. God is willing to disrupt ordinary routines with kingdom encounters. Letter C. The normal moments of life can become sacred spaces for God's call. The normal moments of life can become sacred spaces for God's call. Letter D. Does your willingness to listen and obey put you in position to fish for people? Does your willingness to listen and obey put you in position to fish for people? And here's the thought for number one. And if you're sharing pens, you're probably not going to be able to keep up, so you'll just have to fill it out later on. The thought, here's the thought. Here's what I want you thinking about coming out of number one. Who rules the fish? Who fills the net? Peter, drop your net. Jason, drop your net. That's my role. That's what I do. He is in charge of that waitress. And if she says no, that's between him and her. I drop my net. He rules the fish. He fills the net. And so how do we move then on the thought for number one? Well, we take number one this week, Monday and Tuesday and next week and August and September, and we say things like this. God, you call weak people. I'm weak. I need you. I've had a rough week. I've had a terrible Friday. I have a headache, but this isn't about me. This is about the cause of Christ and the advancement of your kingdom. And it doesn't matter if the fish has never been caught before and is unsaved. It doesn't matter if the fish has just gotten saved. It doesn't matter if the fish has been saved. Listen, that girl, she could have been a born-again believer for the last 10 years. And she still is going to slide in next to us and say, oh my gosh, my mom and I are fighting. I want it to stop, bawling her eyes out. Oh, yeah, she must be unsaved because she and her mom are fighting. Daughters and moms, Christians don't ever fight. Never. So we say things like, God, you call weak people, and I'm weak. I need you. I am in desperate need of you, and I desperately want you. I need my pride exposed, Lord. I need my unbelief exposed, Lord. I need my weaknesses exposed, Lord. I need my fear. Would you please help me peel, honestly self-evaluate and peel back the layers, Holy Spirit, to show me what am I afraid of? I won't be in control in the moment. It's too risky. I don't really want to do it. It's going to disrupt the evening. Yada, 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 yada. There's no snacks in the boat. Father, help me in my daily, ordinary life to desire, to be passionate for kingdom encounters. Father, help me not to get to here and look back and go, oh, that was a kingdom encounter. I blew that. Because I've done that a ton. Where somebody says something and then 10 steps down the road, I say, man, I should have prayed for them. And I don't mean, oh, you got a lot going on. I will pray for you. No, I'm going to pray for you right now. Out on the football field, in the Walmart aisle, in the restaurant, bawling next to my wife. God, I know that my normal moments can become sacred places for you. Please help me to be aware of those. Father, cause me to be willing to listen. Cause me to be willing to obey. Fill me. You are the one in me, working in me. I'm working out this salvation, but only because you're working it in me. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ's life lives in and through me. Number two. It doesn't take great faith. It takes the authority of Jesus' word and invitation. It doesn't take great faith. It takes the authority of Jesus' word and invitation. At your word, I will let this net down. Letter A skeptical and reluctant Peter says, but at your word, I will let these nets down. Kathy said it a number of couple times in her communion meditation. The word. Jesus is the word. And here's a big one. Here's a big one, letter B. Here's a big one. I don't know, highlight it, start, underline it, circle it, number 2B. Simon Peter, trusted Jesus' word more than his own perceptions. My perception in the booth that night is that I'd had a terrible week, a cruddy Friday, and my head was pounding, and I didn't want to talk to anybody. If I talked, I'm losing control. I don't have control of the situation. That's my fear. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to hear about anything. I've been hearing blah all week long. My fear is I don't want to hear anymore. But Peter trusted Jesus' words more than his own perceptions and the thought. So what do I want you thinking about? What do I want you thinking about concerning number 2? At times, true obedience contradicts our experience. At times, true obedience contradicts our experience. What am I experiencing right now in my everyday life? Has it become my kingdom? Every once in a while, he has to whisper in my ear, "Hey, Jace, you're not God." What? I finally reached the point where I don't say what anymore. I finally reached the point where I'm like, yep. Okay, back in line. Let's do this. Number three. Power, holiness, and human humility. Power, holiness, and human humility. Is Jesus in your boat? Jesus wasn't in my boat that Friday night. I said this already. He was in my booth that Friday night. Encountering divine power produces humility. Encountering divine power produces humility. True discipleship begins with awe and humility. Please notice, when he called him master, he was aware of Jesus. When he called him Lord, he was in awe of Jesus. Big difference. I'm sure we're all here this morning because we're aware. That's why we're here. We're part of the body. We're followers of Christ. When was the last time that you were in awe of Jesus? When was the last time he knocked your socks off? When was the last time you wept in his presence? When was the last time you cried for joy and leapt and danced in his presence? He was aware, master. He was in awe, Lord. B, Jesus filled the nets according to his choosing. Please don't think that this is a prosperity message. This is not a prosperity message. There's a mistake in believing this. And so, Jiminy Crickets, look at Peter and Andrew and James and John. Their boats were sinking. That waitress did not go back into the kitchen and say, oh my gosh, booth number 55, they prayed over me and it was amazing and it was incredible. Hey, cook and dishwasher and other waitresses, and came out with all these people out to our booth. In fact, you ready for this? You ready for this craziness? She never came back to our booth. What? What? Nope. I did not see her again in that restaurant that night. I didn't see her over at table 75 and think, what's going on? Another waitress came to our table and finished out the night. I did not see her. I looked for her. I looked around because this other waitress came a couple times. I'm like, what? So I was kind of looking around. Nope. I have no idea. One person. Ladies and gentlemen, my boat was full to sinking. One person. Please do not see this 1 through 11 as a prosperity. Well, my boats are never sinking. I don't really believe in this stuff anymore. Please don't read this as a prosperity message. It's not a prosperity message. One person. And my boat was full that night. Jesus fills the nets according to his choosing. The thought for number 3. So what do I want you thinking about? What do I want you thinking about? Think. What do I want you thinking about? Because this is where it all begins, right? What I think becomes what I say, and what I say becomes what I do. Keep that always in front of you. What I'm thinking about. Why? I mean, we can't really control our thoughts. But what? Yes, we can control our thoughts. Absolutely, we can control our thoughts. 100% we can control our thoughts. The problem is, way too often our thoughts are controlling us. Bring your thoughts into captivity to submission to Christ. That's what the Word of God says. So what I think about and think about and think about becomes what I start to speak about, and what I speak about and speak about and speak about becomes what I do. So what I want you to think about for number 3, here's what I want you to think about. Our role is to faithfully drop the net, not to define a good catch. Stop defining what is good and what is not good. Called my dad one night. We always talked on Sunday evenings after the Buffalo Bills games because they're way better than Pittsburgh Steelers, I'll tell you that. I said, Dad, you are not going to believe it. Guess what happened in church today? Somebody in church cut the church $1 million check. My dad was like, wow, that is amazing. I said, man, it got announced today in church. Somebody in the church cut the church $1 million check. Wow, man, son, that's amazing. That's incredible. I said, yeah, Dad, can you imagine the kind of money that person must have in order to cut $1 million check? And my dad said to me, maybe that's all he had. Oh. Immediately in my mind, I mean, this woman's got to be worth $10 million, $50 million, $100 million. And my dad, just like that, said, well, maybe that's all he had. Maybe that's all the person had was $1 million. And God said, hey, cut the million. Whoa, I've worked really hard for this. Yeah, but it's not yours. It's mine. I gave it to you. Drop your net. He said, son, maybe cutting that $1 million check put that guy in a pinch. Maybe that was the most difficult thing he'd ever done in his life or her life, was to cut that $1 million check. Because that was it. You see, I had a perspective. I had conjured up in my mind that this person must be fabulously wealthy to be able to do that. Our role is to faithfully drop the net, not to define a good catch. It's not our role. He rules the fish. He fills the nets. All we're told to do is drop it, What am I afraid of? Why will I not drop my net? What am I afraid of? Don't be afraid. Number four, from catching fish to catching, come on, people. People, from catching fish to catching people, Jesus provides. From catching fish to catching people, moving from that, the change that's taking place now to verse number 10, where you're done catching these fish, now you're going to start catching people, Jesus provides. Letter A, let's trust Him to fill our nets. The fish are His. Let's trust Him to fill our nets. The fish are His. Letter B, 4B. And I think this one's huge. Oh, I think they're all huge. Huge. Anybody get that? Okay, thanks. We are not just transformed. We are transformed to help transform others. You see, because as we are being transformed, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but what? Christ who lives in and through me. So this hope, I'm filled with hope, well then I'm to be a dispenser of hope. I'm filled with life, then I'm to be a dispenser of life. I'm filled with healing, then I'm to be a dispenser of healing, a dispenser of peace, a dispenser of patience, a dispenser of goodness. I am simply a conduit. I am simply the vessel. And people don't walk up to the vessel and go, wow, that is an amazing vessel. Woo, look at that vessel. No. They're looking at what is in the inside of the vessel and saying, man, I want that. I want that kind of peace. I want that kind of hope. I want that kind of life. I want that kind of healing. I want that kind of perseverance. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in and through me. If I lived that night in the booth, I would have sat there in my misery, stewing. I've had a bad week, wah. I've had a bad Friday, wah. I have a headache, wah. Me, my kingdom. I'm so afraid, I'm just going to sit here and pout. I don't have no snacks in the boat. And I think he would have figured out how to minister to that waitress anyways, because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he's inviting me at his word and his invitation. At his word and his invitation, I'm dropping my net. We are not just transformed. We are transformed to help transform others. And that doesn't matter if they're way down here on the unsaved end. It doesn't matter if they're right up there and the very next step is salvation. It doesn't matter if they just got saved. It doesn't matter if they've been saved for 20 years. We are fishing for people because that's what our Father is about. That's what Jesus was about. It's His cause and His kingdom. And so the thought for number four, what I want you thinking about for number four, think, because thinking becomes what you say. Say becomes what you do. Discipleship is intrinsically missional. I don't have to go to Costa Rica to go on the mission field. If I do, great, fantastic, wonderful. But guess where my mission field is? My own home, my neighbors across the street. Starting August 11th, a whole new group of kids at the school that I'm going to teach at. A whole bunch of new Silases, if anybody gets that joke. Pooping their pants. Discipleship is intrinsically missional, which then leads us to the go and do. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it goes into action. This is where we get up out of our seats now, and I'm 5 minutes over my time. This is where we get up now and we head out that door and we go to the restaurant and we begin casting our nets. This is where it is right here. You ready to go and do? Everybody at the go and do? No more blanks. You're like, whew, thank goodness. My pencil broke 4 blanks ago. The go and do. There is a cost to discipleship. And because there's a cost, we're afraid. There is a cost to discipleship. Discipleship is about laying down our rights. What? I'm an American. You don't infringe on my rights. I fight wars over my rights. I punch people over my, I yell at people. We do that all out of fear. Because I'm afraid to give up my rights. I don't like that. Discipleship is about laying down our rights, one's rights to follow the king. And verse number 11, and they docked their boats and got out. They didn't even pull the fish out. They left that for Zebedee. And they followed the king. Remember, Peter's name's already been changed. Peter's mother-in-law's already been healed. People at his front door have already been healed. He's watching this huge crowd grow for the rock star. It wasn't an accident that that boat was picked. It wasn't an accident. And what does he say to Peter? What does he say to Andrew? What does he say to James and John and to Jason and to you and to me? What does he say? Don't be afraid. And so I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you, are you willing to take the time today and in any given moment to peel back the layer, allow the Holy Spirit to peel back the layers to say, well, what am I afraid of? Oh, I really like being in control. And if I do this, I'm not in control. Hi, my name is Jason. I'm a control freak. I should go to a class or something. What are you afraid of? Because the master who is becoming the Lord for you, not because he's becoming the Lord, but he's becoming the Lord for you, you are moving from aware to awe. It says, drop your nets and don't be afraid. Anybody get anything? Can you take your notes and, like, I don't know, post them on your wall or something and... Please understand that God does this through me. And I don't say that to try to, oh, look how humble Jason is. Please, I'm being very serious. God, I actually, you all just came for to like see, this was for me. This was for me. This is where I sit for hours in my room and read and study and read and study and get on my knees and God says, hey, you know, this would be a great message because, you know, you're afraid. As I'm eating my snacks up out of the boat. My hope is that this word, at the word and the invitation of Christ, my hope is that compels you to go fishing. I'm going to invite the altar team to come. We're going to go ahead and turn the lights down. I'm going to pray over you. And when I'm done praying, people are invite people into the altar. And if you would take your conversations and all that out into the lobby and leave it quiet in here for people coming in. But I'm telling you, please, right now as I'm doing this, if you, even in this moment, you have butted up against something and you're like, I already know what I'm afraid of. Man, I don't have to sit and evaluate. I already know what I'm afraid of concerning this person or this person or this situation or this neighbor or this coworker. I already know what I'm afraid of. Please come and pray with these people. Tell them. Tell them, say, hey, listen, you're not telling them. You're telling the Lord. Altar team, if you would go ahead and come, go ahead and put the lights out. Heavenly Father, if everybody would stand. Heavenly Father, Wow, Lord, wow. Can we be wowed, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, can we be wowed? Can we go from awareness to awe, to awestruck? Man, Father, you're the creator of the universe. You can fish any way you want. Any way you want. And yet you choose us. You choose us when we have a terrible week. You choose us when we have a terrible Friday. You choose us when we have a headache. And you say, hey, let's go fishing. Man, what an honor. Oh my goodness, what a privilege. Father, I pray that you would move me continually from awareness to awe. That I would allow you on a regular basis to say to me, don't be afraid, and give me the power, give us the power to peel back the layers at the moving of the Holy Spirit, who's living in us, to show us those areas, convict us of those areas, and then empower us to drop our nets. We're not in charge of the fish. We're not in charge of how much comes into that. All we are to do is to drop the net. It's at your word and your invitation. Thank you for your word, and thank you for inviting us to go fishing. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen and amen. If you need prayer for anything, even beyond this message today, please come and get some prayer. If you would please take your discussions and whatnot out into the lobby, that would be fantastic. We would appreciate that very much. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate you being here.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Empowered Word.